Hey everybody, this is Adam. We're doing this is the Red Chair Dialogue number 9. With me today is Nick, and Colin is actually here, but he's working the counter, but we figured we'd get a little bit started. First thing we want to talk about, I know we talked about it a little bit on the last podcast that's up now, but the Pittsburgh Comics podcast, but a little bit about Batman, because we haven't got Nick's opinion on that. So what did you think, Nick?
Great ending that reminded me of the pre-New 52 universe in a way that I liked, because it's a new take on, in my opinion, it's a new take on Owlman, as opposed to him being a character from another universe. He's a character from this universe. Now, can I see people complaining about it? Sure, because it's retcon and it's something tacked on, but there's enough written in there to give them backdoor that it's not the case, that he's crazy, that he was told this by the Court of Owls, that you can really choose to believe either way. He's either Thomas Wayne Jr. is either somebody that they brainwashed, or he's really the real deal. And either way, I think it's kind
of
cool.
Yeah. No, I just love the idea of it. Like, Ryan said this at the last Pittsburgh Comics podcast. He said he kind of saw that it was going to be Lincoln March, that something was up with Lincoln March. And I said, you know, he called it basically the Scooby-Doo theory, where, you know, they introduce a new character and it's that guy, you know? I kind of assumed that myself. And I was like, Lincoln March has something to do with the Owls. We just don't know. Then he was killed off, only to show up now. So that kind of threw me off a little bit when he was killed, because I was like, okay, maybe he is dead, you know, maybe it's he was just a guy, but, you know, it was a little more than that. So no, I love where they went. You know what, this book has had the best I think the best little short tie-in stories at the end. I think this story about Jarvis Pennyworth has been great. Like, it was so needed for the book too.
It grounds it in something that makes it feel bigger, and that's what this whole story has really done. Is it's established the history of Gotham and where Bruce Wayne fits in it.
Yeah.
And and not only just where Bruce Wayne fits in it, but also his family, where Alfred and his lineage fits into the Gotham, where Dick Grayson and his lineage fits in Gotham, all of them. And I think that's really cool, because it grounds it in so much history and it makes it feel so much more epic.
Yeah. How do you how did they fit in Jarvis? Now, I swear he's been mentioned, like, before.
He probably has, I'll be honest. I don't really remember that much about him.
But I think they have changed it a little bit for New 52. And I think the main reason why they had to do it, because Alfred would have known about Thomas Wayne Jr.
Yeah,
if he was the butler during when the Waynes were alive.
Yeah, I will tell you that the only thing that I know for a fact that is new is that his father being the butler for the Waynes prior to, that's a completely new concept.
Yeah, and I think that's the only reason they had to do it for this, and they had an excuse because of the New 52, because he couldn't have known who Thomas Wayne Jr. was, or it would have threw the whole thing off.
Correct, and what it did is, you know, again, I really don't think that they're, at least I hope, they're not going to reveal right away if he is or isn't really who he claims to be.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is about managing, well, I think it's twofold. One, anything that fans can kind of bicker back and forth about is cool. And the other one is that I think that both sides are going to cling on to what they believe, that way that no one's really upset.
Yeah. No, it's just really cool. How'd you like the costume change up there from how they made the old crime syndicate Owlman to a Talon? Yeah,
it's cool. And what I really liked about it the most is that I actually find the Court of Owls, you know, the actual court members' masks cool, because they're creepy.
Yeah,
you know, they're creepy in a way that's like, well, I'm trying to think of that movie it's a really weird movie where everyone wears masks and there are dinner parties and now I can't remember what it is. Everyone's probably also remembering it.
Are you thinking of Twilight Zone?
No, I'm thinking of It'll come back to me, but it's a Nicole Kidman, and it was the last movie that... Shoot.
Yeah, I can't think of that.
But the idea of, like, these really rich people behind masks and this, like, secret society, they're simple, you know? And I think all that stuff makes it really, really creepy.
Also, one thing I've always liked, I think it was George Lucas who said that he did that with characters like even C-3PO and Darth Vader especially, was having an emotionless character with no facial emotions that makes them more terrifying.
Yeah, that's
because,
like,
somebody that you can't read in their face what they do, it comes off as scarier, and I agree with that.
Yeah, because there's no emotion, I guess, so it always comes off as cold.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Jason Voorhees or Mike Myers.
Yeah, exactly. And this works better as a Gotham-type villain, better than how he was in the crime. In the Crime Syndicate, this suit was more like an opposite of Batman, as this is more villainous, kind of. No emotion in his face, you know, he fits the Gotham feel as a Gotham villain, you know, having to be, you know, kind of scary and mysterious instead of just being an opposite of Batman. You know what if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes it more personal.
Yeah. But I actually, yesterday, Colin brought it out, and I was like, you know what, I gotta read that, because I never got a chance to read it. I saw the movie with Al Mann, but I had to read that Grant Morrison JLA Earth 2. And that was a fun read altogether, though. That was, as I was telling you before the podcast started, it was a quick read, but it was just really well done.
And I'm a big fan of the collaborations between Frank Quitely and Grant Morrison too.
Yeah.
Between X-Men and that and All-Star Superman, some of those are the best.
Yeah.
And they work together so well.
Yeah, it is. So I was really happy when I saw that was who was the artist on this, being that Grant Morrison was the writer. But, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with this, because anytime they add a Batman character, it just seems to take off pretty well. Well, except for that girl with the hole in her head.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that all about?
That was pretty weird.
I hope that doesn't come back.
I feel like they need to have some kind of, like, weird aesthetic for it to work, and,
yeah.
I think that was the case in, what's that other Batman book? I think it's Detective right now, where it's a bunch of people who are deformed by, like, batarangs.
Yeah, that's Batman and Robin.
Yeah, well, that's Batman and Robin. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's Terminus.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, I was telling Colin the other day, I was like, that guy with the batarang through his head, he'd be dead, you know? And the guy that's melted together?
Yeah, with other guys.
With other people?
Yeah, each one of them should be dead. But what I did kind of like about the idea, I guess, is that it reminded me their motivations of almost like the red right hand.
Yeah.
Of saying, like, we're a bunch of, like, you know, not so somewhat regular people who have been hurt by somebody that we're going to go after them and, you know, revenge.
Yeah. That's kind of where it seems to be. That's how it is. I don't know how this ties into War of Robins, though. That's kind of different. The idea is interesting, the War of Robins, because, you know, you knew that was going to happen eventually, something. Damien was going to have some sort of crazy game he wanted to play here.
I mean, what he said to call him out was so, you know, I mean, that's Damien.
Yeah.
He is proving himself, but he is so used to these, you know, Machiavellian-type moves.
Yeah.
He's not a normal person.
Yeah, that's how Damien just kind of rolls with this, you know? It's his way of doing it, you know? That's what he grew up with, that type of thing.
Yeah, he grew up with killers. I mean,
yeah, and that's just what they do, you know? My only problem with what they're doing is Tim Drake. But I think that's going to add on later on into the writing, because he's adopted by Bruce, and right after he's adopted, Bruce figures out he actually has a kid. And then we throw him out into, you know, nowhere. And I thought maybe that would create a little bit of strain between Batman and Tim. And
it doesn't seem like those two have any problems. It's just between...
Which seems really odd, because I'm even thinking about, I'm like, geez, Tim should be just quite irritated about this. I don't understand that. I don't know. Maybe they'll do something with that. Maybe they won't. They haven't really dealt with too much with Tim Drake, so I'm hoping to see 10 more things besides Teen Titans, because I'm not really into Teen Titans.
What?
No.
I'm not either. Or how everything has to do, like, that villain. Like, it's such a... Like, if you don't buy into Harvest and all that stuff, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Because that book and Ravagers, like, I don't know why they thought that whole storyline was so cool to spin off another book out of that.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. I think that was the worst there. I mean, Teen Titans has its own kind of fan base. That's, I don't know, but I tried to get into it, and I was just like, this is not going to work for me. I just can't get into it.
I mean, I still read it, but because I'm a big Teen Titans fan. So
I kind of like the idea, but in New 52, and I was like, I want to get into this also because Tim's leading it. I just can't stick with it for some reason. So I was like, I'm going to pass on this. And we didn't talk about that at all at the last podcast. The new wave, the third wave that's going to be coming out, New 52.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, it's interesting. It's not really something that, you know, is really catching my interest, like, you know, Earth 2 and that,
and
but
Batman,
like...
Batman Inc., like, those two books were so, like, everyone was excited for those, right?
Yeah. And, the only one that really caught my interest, and that's mainly because of the free comic book day, New 52 book, is Phantom Stranger.
Yeah, because of... Like, what that means, I guess.
Yeah. I thought that might be interesting, even if they're going to do anything with it. But I thought if they're going to do that, are they going to have a, I can't think of the question? Wasn't it the question? Who was the other one?
Talon. I'm trying to think of who was all in it.
No, I mean, in that New 52 free comic book day book.
Yeah, yeah. It was Pandora, the question, and...
Phantom Stranger.
And, yeah, him and who else? Somebody else, right?
No, there were three. Question, Pandora, and Phantom Stranger.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think they were, like, the gods who took away their powers. It looked like Zeus, one of them, I thought. I don't know.
It did.
Yeah.
It was pretty vague and weird.
Yeah, but very interesting. I want to know where they're going with it, you know? But we will see.
Yeah,
I guess.
Phantom Stranger has always been like one of those characters where they offered like multiple possibilities for his origin.
Yeah.
One of them, for the longest time, has been that he was Judas.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And I think that might even be the case in this.
Yeah.
But then he's like a reincarnation of him, essentially. But he's the betrayer.
Yeah. That's kind of what he is. So I was like,
yeah,
I'm totally for this. So I think that might be one that I pick up of that. The other one is Talon. Have you heard what Talon's supposed to be about?
I mean, there's a Newsarama. There's a thing about it, I guess, like an article. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know even which character it's going to be.
Yeah, or if it's going to be any. You mean any of the regular Talons that were frozen?
Right.
It came out. I don't know if it's going to be any. I think it might have escaped before. Because they're saying basically that this Talon escaped and didn't want to be, you know, part of them. And he went out on his own and did whatever he wanted to do, I guess. And, you know, the Talons don't like that. So so they're kind of after him in this. So I don't know. It might be interesting. It's written by Scott Snyder. So, I mean, he knows what he's doing with Talons, as we figured out. So, I don't know. It seems like... I know a lot of people have been a little iffy on it. They're like, oh, you know, why would they make a Talon book already? It's just like, well, this is a little bit different, you know? But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about a good guy Talon. You know what I mean?
I'm curious to see if he'll be, like, undead as well. Because in the picture on the cover of it, he doesn't look like
that. He looks very much alive. And that might be the thing. See, the Talons, they weren't undead... Now, I'm pretty sure they weren't undead when they were originally Talons, but they were undead now, is what I thought they were saying.
Okay.
Like, for the Night of Owls, they were used for that. Now, I don't understand that very much, and I think I was going by the Batman book. I think it was the Batman book of how they were explaining that. Okay. That they were all resurrected for that moment. Freeze. Mr. Freeze figured out a way of regenerating them. Did you read the annual?
Yeah.
That's where he figured out, and then they betrayed him. Wasn't that how it went down?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so that's how they're regenerated. But this one escaped sometime, I think, before then. I think he is very much alive.
What's... Well, in this, I just read this interview. Apparently, he's a guy named Calvin Rose. Who we haven't seen any of the books yet, and that he escaped court years ago, and that they've been on the search for, searching for him ever since.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's... I don't know. The idea of it sounds pretty cool. Well, Scott Snyder... Scott Snyder is such a good storyteller, though.
But he's somebody who's not died and come back, they said.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but yeah, I guess he runs from, like, place to place and, you know, avoiding them, kind of like, you know, the Hulk TV series, or, I don't know, it seems to be something that's, like, the nomadic hero that's, like, that no one's supposed to know about. It's almost like Winter Soldier and some other books.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That might be...
Like, I like those kind of Batman characters that are on the periphery, that are out there, like Azrael was, and things like that.
Yeah. Seems like an interesting character. I mean, I'm always looking for something new, so I'm sure I'd give that a try.
Yeah.
And as I said, with Scott Snyder writing it, I can't, you know, get enough of reading anything written by Scott Snyder, so... And, you know, it's kind of interesting. She said that he's not undead. That means he has no regenerative abilities.
Correct.
So that makes the character a little more interesting. He's not Wolverine.
Right.
So, I don't know. I might give that one a try.
Yeah, what other books are there? There's,
Do you remember Amethyst?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Sword of Sorcery.
Sword of Sorcery. That's going to be the next one.
I don't know. I mean, the only, like, I guess, sort of, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, these kind of, like, sorcery and swords and that kind of stuff. Like, that I've ever liked is... I've liked some Warlord. But I don't know. Just to me, for DC, it's just tough.
Did, I can't think of it now. Demon, I can't remember it now. The book that took place in the past, and I can't remember what it was, of the first wave.
Demon Knights?
Demon Knights, yeah.
Yeah.
Did that get canceled?
I think... I'm almost positive it gets canceled in Zero Month, but I'm not sure.
And I find it funny that they canceled them and they're creating Zero issues for them, too. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, they put them all together.
Even some of the old ones are getting Zero issues that have already been canceled, aren't they?
No, they're pulling them and they're doing a DC Comics Presents.
Oh, okay.
It shows where they all are.
Colin, do you remember...
What?
Colin's here.
Part of this?
He's a part of it.
I just want to say welcome back, Nick. We really very much missed you.
Oh, yeah. Summer's my... Thank you. Summer's my really busy month,
yeah,
so.
No, that's fine. It's just... It will be... Oh, but what about... Oh, Nick was here. We could answer that, so...
Nick was here instead of Jeremy.
Yeah, it's just nice. Since I've been ringing people up, it's just nice hearing your voice again.
Well, thank
you. I'm glad you got over whatever we did to make you mad, so.
Well, Colin, we're talking about the third wave. Because we didn't talk about that at the podcast.
Well, you know, because I haven't seen anything, and I mean, I look at stuff online, but I don't give it a whole lot of credence until I'm actually looking at the solicitation.
Until you're saying that, yeah.
So I'm kind of waiting to see that, to, you know, see what is actually coming. Like, I saw that there's a Talon book,
that's
but I really
talking.
Don't know anything about it. I know the guy that's writing, the guy that's co-writing the backup stories, Tinian, is going to be writing it.
I don't know.
I don't know who the
Zero issue had Scott. Oh no, the Zero issue can't. That, it
that's
might not be
right,
Scott
yeah.
Snyder because
no,
it's a weird.
It's both.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was just reading the idea, a little bit of the idea about it. It seemed
oh, okay.
kind of interesting. And,
okay. Cool.
Phantom Stranger was one we talked about. That we're
know,
not even
after
sure.
The, after the free comic book,
that's
one, that one
saying.
Has a lot more interest for me.
But we thought, one thing I was saying, though, is it would be interesting at the same time they brought out a question book, because then you have that character, too, but maybe he doesn't play a part into it a little bit later.
Well,
we got a fourth wave.
Well, whatever happened with the question, though, because I remember in the first issue of Batwoman, they showed her and she had a picture on the wall, but they didn't really explain anything more.
Was that New 52?
Right, so I don't...
Yeah.
Are they going to switch the question? I don't know. But who knows?
The other one we were just talking about was Amethyst. I don't really know too much about that, to tell you the truth.
I can sell you the complete Amethyst.
The complete?
Yes.
What can you sell us on buying it?
For the New 52.
I'll be honest with you. I remember getting it in the 80s, but I couldn't tell you. I mean, it's been 30 years since I've read it. So she was a princess of Gem World, but she, like, lived in our world and got, like, sucked through her closet or some gift she got from someone who was, you know.
That happens in Narnia.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, you know, a gift from someone who, you know, gave it and she touches the gem and is transported to Gem World where she's actually the princess. I think it was like someone had put her in our world for safekeeping, to keep her safe.
That whole concept to me makes sense when you consider that the writer of this is best known for her work on the animated series G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So that whole concept sounds like a Saturday morning cartoon.
It does.
Well, and then it was a Saturday morning cartoon, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
That's what I'm trying
to find.
Team 7, sure.
Yeah.
Just another... I don't know. I know it was a Wildstorm book, but I never read it.
But it said, yeah, but this is a completely different Team 7, and the old Team 7 was, although I shouldn't say completely, what do you call it? Cole Cash was in that. But this seems to be set in DC's past, and there's been a few DC books that have mentioned it. I know that Amanda Waller has mentioned it a couple times, and I think it's been mentioned in Deathstroke. But the team is Amanda Waller, Steve Trevor. I don't know who John... Oh, wait, John Lynch was from Wildcats. Alex Fairchild, Cole Cash, Slade Wilson.
That's interesting. Okay, I'm much more interested in it now than I was.
Yeah, so this is like Deathstroke before he lost his eye, and these are like mercenaries, but Amanda Waller and Grifter and all that.
Yeah.
Just a picture of it.
Okay, cool.
It's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, and this 0 hour thing...
Grifter.
I have to say I like. So, or not 0 hour, but the 0 issues. I like the idea of, you know, having a jump-on point here in the middle.
A real jump-on point instead of a point?
Well, I have to say you'd hope that they learn from the missteps that Marvel did with the point one, where some were very well done, but some of the point ones made no sense.
Yeah.
It started coming out randomly. That
yeah. And we've had second point ones on most titles, which made no sense. And I think even really recently, Mighty Thor, we had an issue, we had a point one, we had an issue, and then we had an annual. And it's like, what? You know, you're all over the place.
They're just trying to pump the, you know, how many books they can get out.
Yeah, well, my problem with that is I have people who won't buy the point ones or the annuals, so trying to order that stuff then become, you know, you can't just say, oh, I'm ordering 35 Thors. It just kind of ends up. You're having to look way too close.
I'm actually looking up Team 7.
I mean, the 0 issues to me are the most exciting part of it all is that they promise to fill in some gaps for these characters, new 52 origins.
Right.
So that's very exciting to me. And I was, you know, reading almost every DC book back in the day when 0 Hour happened, and... to me, as somebody who had only been reading DC books for about maybe 4 or 5 years before that, it was huge because it was just an awesome jump-on point for these characters that have been around forever, but also established some really cool new characters, and one of them that is now one of my favorite superhero books of all time, Starman, came from the 0 Hour.
Ah, see? Yeah, that's... I'm actually really for them. I can't wait for that. That's just something... It's one of those things that... The companies will bring out that are really just things that you wait for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that you've been waiting for a while. Even, like, Watchmen, you know. You just look for those little things once in a while that come out. So, I don't know. You know, that's a good way to break into that. Some of the annuals, especially DC and Marvel even, have come out first. I guess we'll talk about it. We can talk about a Marvel book. Did you read... The Spider-Man Annual?
Yeah.
It was a fun book.
Just a fun book, right?
Yeah. That's kind of what I look for. I think that was a perfect annual. Something that's what you expect an annual to kind of be.
It's a one and done, and at the end of it, you can get a good feeling for, like, what a fun Spider-Man book can be.
Yeah, and they really screwed up last year with their annual.
Right.
With that tie-in with, what did they even call that? It was Deadpool and Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just dumb. Like, I was like, I'm not getting Deadpool, I'm not getting... Identity something, yeah. Identity War?
That could be.
I think that might have been.
Yeah, Hulk, Deadpool, and Spider-Man. Yeah.
But they really screwed up, and they fixed it this year, because that was just a fun read. It was exactly what an annual should be. It was kind of funny, because what is that guy's name? Brody or something? Brody? The guy who invented the time door.
Oh, okay. I was saying the captain on Jaws?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. He shows up with Spider-Man, and he says they need a bigger boat. Yeah, that's who I was thinking of when I said it.
Well, that's because they named every character in that movie from a Jaws character.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
T.S. Quint, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, every single character, except for Stan Lee.
I never knew that.
That's funny. What about the dad?
Single one of them is from Jaws.
What was the dad's name?
You mean the bald dad?
Yeah.
That Roker played? I forget. But what's funny is in Chasing Amy, they actually recreated the bar from Jaws, and they sat him in a booth, and you could see like a circle window, and you could see the water going. And it's exactly the shot from Jaws.
That's funny.
No reason.
T.S. Quint. Yeah, you're right. I never even thought of that. I'm trying to think of other character names in that whole movie.
I know too much about Willem and from the trying to see the sailboat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably know more about Kevin Smith than I do Jaws, so that would be my problem.
That's my favorite Kevin Smith movie, is Mallrats. Yeah, that's not a favorite of a lot of people.
No, I would agree.
I just always liked that movie.
I always liked Chasing Amy because it had a strong comic book connection and pretty simple story and just, better than you'd expect acting.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
I balanced a quarter on its head, yeah. Thank you.
So what can you
X-Force
do at work?
X-Force is back to being a great book.
That.
Which one?
That's a rough transition.
X-Force?
X-Force, yeah.
You know what? I didn't read the 25 because it annoyed me.
Okay.
And so I'm not caught up. Just the fact that they charge more for old stories that didn't relate to anything.
Oh. Well, this is back to what it was. Big, epic teams of villains against X-Force and, the world's at large. And it's back to being a really good book. There's just that one... I understood it, but I just didn't really love it, that whole Captain Britain nonsense.
Yeah.
That sort of derailed it for a lot of people, but I think it's back. This book was really good.
How have you liked what they're doing with Secret Avengers with AVX?
I think it's one of those comics that got derailed by... I mean, and don't get me wrong, I actually... Those stories so far have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because I like... I remember even back in the day, Grant Morrison wrote that Marvel Boy miniseries that introduced Novar. So I've actually followed that character. I really like him. And I thought overall these are actually kind of cool because they had a good arc to it. But I just think that the mandate of what this team is, it just had nothing to be reflected in these books.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And I kind of assumed it was going to get derailed a little bit. And then again, as you said, the story hasn't been that
good. I mean,
and it really ties in very well. At least it's not those interview issues that they did with Avengers.
Yeah.
The only thing I could say about the Avengers issues, I feel like they keep getting a little mixed up. Like, one thing that's happening in Secret Avengers is kind of happening a little bit in the regular Avengers book.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice they were doing that. I thought they were kind of staying away from that. But, like, the last issue dealt with the end of that Secret Avengers thing where they're on the Kree planet.
Right.
And that all of that was taking place in Secret Avengers. So I got a little thrown off, sidetracked from that.
The timing has been weird.
Yeah, very weird.
Okay.
But, that's a good time to start on that. What did you think of... AVX number 5.
You pull it up right here. I mean, the big reveal is the Phoenix inhabiting 5 of the X-Men's bodies.
Yeah.
It just seems like I don't understand the Phoenix at all. Like, what the heck is the Phoenix's goal?
That's my argument with that. Of everything I've known about the Phoenix, and I mean, you don't know too much about the Phoenix, but this does not seem like the Phoenix. It doesn't seem like the Phoenix had an idea of what it was doing. Now, you know, supposedly, you know, we were talking about this a little bit at the last podcast, that Tony Stark used a disruptor, and it disrupted it into pieces. But as Colin was saying as well, it doesn't. In the art, it looks nothing like it separates into five pieces. It looks like it shatters into, like, a million pieces.
Right.
Second, it just chooses the X-Men for some reason. And there just happen to be five of them. Wherever the rest of the Phoenix Force goes, who knows?
And it's a random five, to some extent.
It is a very random five. I mean, I guess they chose whoever was there, but that seems odd in itself. Is that how random the Phoenix is?
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, the Phoenix's hosts are supposed to be these special people, and it's like, what qualities exist in all five of those characters?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Like, if it was the five, like, most hardcore, or the five most powerful, or the five most pure, or the five most...
It was just who was there at the
just
time.
Who was there.
Yeah, and that doesn't even seem like the Phoenix. The Phoenix had more of a goal that it was trying to accomplish, you know?
Yeah, and it was choosy in the host.
It was very choosy. And you think it's going to choose Hope, and instead it chooses, like, five random people?
Well, Hope was knocked out.
Yeah. And, I don't know. The only thing that I thought seemed interesting with this idea is that the Avengers screwed up in this.
Yeah.
This isn't what they were expecting, and they actually, it backfired on them. So, I mean,
it gives it... Just let the Avengers know how to hit things, and that's about it.
Yeah. And that's the only thing. And you know what? I have to say, I don't usually mind JRJR art. Very much. This last issue, everything looked like everybody bleeds too much, like when they're fought, and I don't know, something about it just messy.
All I have is in this set.
In this last issue. And I don't know, the art just didn't help it, and I think this is the first that, you know, I haven't really been disappointed, not like I was with Fear itself, but this is the first issue that I've been kind of disappointed with.
I mean, I don't know. My whole thing with these crossovers is I'm pretty happy when stuff happens. And stuff happened. You know, it wasn't like it was, I mean, there's still a significant ending where you can talk about it and there's some ramifications.
Yeah.
But the Phoenix didn't take Hope because she was knocked out and they said they had to prepare her and heal her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so hard to believe it, like, her being knocked out is enough for the Phoenix not to be able to, like, wake her up.
The Phoenix is like, uh-oh, gotta go.
She's
asleep.
Two more issues of these guys.
Yeah. And another thing that I noticed with it, it's kind of funny that Matt Fraction wrote this. Basically, the Phoenix Force 5 are the Worthy.
Yeah.
And it's funny that even, I don't know if, you know, Matt Fraction just likes to make characters that are possessed by an entity or something. But he sure does get stuck with that a lot. But yeah, that's what they seem like. New costume, they're kind of a random bunch of people, and they're possessed by, you know, the Phoenix, which is kind of what the Worthy was.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Very similar. So, I don't know. I just, of all of them, I think, I mean, I can't say that this is going to kick me off the series, because it isn't. I haven't disliked it that much. Is it the biggest, you know, the big comic book event of the summer? No, I don't think. I don't think it's as big as they made it out to be, but that's marketing, you know.
Well, I mean, we can talk about another, you know, big crossover for the summer that's ended this week.
Which one was that?
Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man?
No, Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man. Yeah. I was going to say Spider-Man just started. That was, I can't say I dislike that. I thought that was kind of a fun story.
It's a big story, you know, and like, but it seemed like it dragged on a little long.
It did. That was the biggest complaint about it. It just drug on for way longer than it needed to. And, what was even the relevance of Mysterio even teaming up with them?
he traded sides, I guess.
Just to show up the base, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he got him from that far, I suppose. But and he took down the Red Hulk.
That's true.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
To me, the whole thing, like my takeaway of this is, it's the Silver Sable and Rhino.
Yeah. Yeah,
that
I agree.
Pretty crazy.
All in all, though, I was just—I really did.
Bodies.
I didn't think it was that. What was that?
We didn't see a body of Silver Sable or a Rhino.
Nah, that's the thing. I can't say that they're.
Not that bodies even matter anymore.
Yeah.
Cut off Sabretooth's head. It's still fine.
Yeah, we'll just come back as a robot or something.
Yeah. Colossus was cremated.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man was—it was okay. I mean, it was. At the end of the issue, you got to the point where you knew what was, like, the whole point of the thing anyway.
Yeah.
If you read Ultimate Spider-Man back in the day, you got to see Ultimate Mysterio, who was pretty tough.
Yeah.
In our universe, which was weird.
I like how they drew Ultimate Mysterio.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of neat. Got rid of the fishbowl, just gave him, like, a smoky-looking head.
I do like the quote, though, of, Joe Quesada, that, you know, back 5-6 years ago, that he said if we ever have Ultimate Spider-Man meet regular Spider-Man, it means we ran out of ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not coming back to bite him too much right now, is it?
Oh, he hears it every day. And what's funny is he goes, if this ever happens, then you can say that. And he goes, look, the person's ought to change their mind. And it's like, well, but you said ever.
Yeah. You were very specific.
Yeah, you definitely covered that. So, you know, whatever.
There were no little,
caveats.
Yeah.
But Marvel running out of ideas is something that, at the end of the day, if all that proves is they ran out of ideas, so what? I think we...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, did you read Batman Beyond?
Yeah.
How are you liking that Superman story?
Justice League Unlimited Beyond?
Well, no, they have that Justice League, and then they have a Superman Beyond.
Oh, the backup story?
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, Superman Beyond is a cool character.
Yeah.
He's a pretty dark character.
Yeah, I like how he's a little, he's kind of depressed in this, you know?
Yeah.
He's kind of going back on his life and what he's done and how things have changed. I like how he keeps the last issue of the Daily Planet. And the Fortress of Solitude. He has, like, a whole newsstand.
Yeah. It's kind of dark. I mean, the guy... there's been different depictions of Superman's mortality, you know? I think there was a recent arc that had showed him... it might have even been Jeff Johns, where he was around when the Legion... Or he lives to the point to even see the Legion of Superheroes be created in, you know, thousands of years from now.
Yeah.
So if a guy's that, you know, immortal... you know, that's the classic, you know, mistake of being immortal, I guess, is that
That's that curse of being immortal.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think some people get over it.
So I just grabbed a box and I'm going to be sitting here, nobody's in the store. Yay. Not yay. You know, I have customers, but haven't been able to contribute. But since I can sit here and add the music of the podcast of me taping comics, I found a short box with all the flaps untaped. So I just grabbed it to tape. And then there's a Watchmen 12. It's like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Random book amongst a lot of DC recent stuff, okay.
There will never be another Watchmen. Oh, wait.
Oh, jeez. Well, no, DC never said that. Alan Moore may have said that. But...
Alan Moore has.
Alan Moore says a lot of things.
He does.
Nuke Tales. And...
with everything he says, I like him less, which is remarkable because I don't like him at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand how the comic book industry can keep him in reverence when he hates the comic book
Yes. Well, that's what... I had a new helper start today, and one of the things that she said was somebody was picking up Watchmen, and she's like, I didn't think that would be selling at all. I'm like, no, you were apparently listening to the internet. The internet said it wouldn't sell at all. In the stores, it's selling great. Although I know from my retailer website, there's a lot of stores where it's not selling well at all.
And I'm sure those stores are probably putting it down like it's...
Absolutely. I mean, I have it prominently displayed. I have the posters displayed. I have, you know, copies of Watchmen, you know, lining the wall. I think it's been fantastic so far.
I agree.
From a quality... quality standpoint.
Yes. Yeah.
So good.
And I don't think it's something that's even trying to, like, one-up Watchmen or anything.
No, it's just trying
it's
to tell
more
the story.
Trying to tell just... as I've seen it as being, like, an honoring, you know, Watchmen type of book. It's just out there to in a remembrance of Watchmen, and, you know, keeping it alive and stuff like that. You know, what you like to read of these characters. And I just... I liked it. I've liked both issues to come out. Minuteman. And I liked Silk Spectra. And, you know, next week is Comedian.
Comedian.
So that'll be
so
interesting.
The Azzarello book, so...
And even the Pirate story in the back, I've actually enjoyed. I haven't really disliked it.
Yeah, so I'm just, well done, and keep it up, so...
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, back to your Batman Unlimited. Sorry to interrupt you there.
Oh, now we don't even remember.
Well, I never watched the... Well, that's not true. I watched... It's kind of like, for me, it's like Teen Titans Go. I watched it four times. I saw the same episode all four times of both Batman Unlimited and Teen Titans Go. Sadly for Teen Titans Go, it was the Mad Mod episode. You're just sitting there going, what is this? And then the other times that I turned it on, it was the same episode. And I had that same problem with Batman Beyond. It was something with the Royal Flush Gang. And it's just, you know, timing was bad for me, but that's part of the reason I never really went back to it. But continue on.
I was like Derek Powers.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea that there was a... I also like the idea of there being a villain for Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I always like that in superhero comics. Like, the only one I think that almost had better villains to his alter ego than his superhero ego was Iron Man.
Yeah.
Tony Stark has better villains than Iron Man.
Than Iron Man does, yeah.
They're almost the same people, but I...
Ironmonger and Whiplash, you don't consider those top-notch villains?
I mean, they've been in films, so...
Well, because they couldn't figure out how to put
they've
anybody
done
else
stuff,
in
stuff, you know.
Because they just, for some reason, have an aversion to Mandarin.
Who they set up in the first one. Hopefully he's in the third one, but yeah.
Yeah, there's some rings. I mean, come on. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm a big fan of, like, that. So, like, anytime that there's an alter ego that has a villain... I think Clark's only had who? Like, Steve Lombardi or whatever?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a good... I mean, to me, it's funny. Like, those are reprint books from the internet, and I haven't felt the need at all to go online and get them.
Yeah, I haven't either. And you, get, not, like, you can read them first, too, so...
Yeah, anthology format, you know, sort of that this book is, works, and the fact that it's not tied in any other continuity means I can wait.
And it seems like you get a lot of story in each issue.
You get a lot of story.
So, I mean, that in itself right there is kind of, you know, not a reason to wait necessarily, but it may, you know, adds a little value to the book. So I remember Adam was like, yeah, and in this one this happens, and this happens, and this. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. That's an awful lot for one book. You know, I'm used to, you know, one plot point being developed per issue, and you hope it resolves
bigger
after six.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger than that because of it being there.
It's a very fulfilling read.
Well, you guys were talking about Spider-Man Ends of the Earth, and I have to be honest with you, you're saying it went on too long. I got bored with it, and I missed an issue, and I just kind of never went back, and, you know, I probably missed the last three because it just...
You don't need them.
Yeah, it wasn't doing anything for me, and...
You need to hand over your keys to the comic book store?
There's a little bit of death at the end.
But okay, spoiler alert, who?
Silver Sable and Rhino.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now I have to read it, because Silver Sable, shit, that's an integral character in the Marvel Universe.
I read it a few times, because I was like, did that really happen? And... What happened was the boat was flooding.
Yeah.
And Rhino, like, his whole goal is he just wanted to see the world end, because his world ended when his wife died.
Yeah.
So he just wanted to do something terrible and watch the world die. So he held Silver Sable underwater, and Spider-Man, like, couldn't beat him and save the world. So he had to just leave Silver Sable as he was holding her underwater as they both drowned.
Which is important for Spider-Man, because his number one rule recently is no one dies.
I did see
that. And that's
that
how
at the
it
end.
Ends. The panel is somebody died.
Yeah, I did see that. And I just assumed it was Doc Ock.
No. Yeah, the whole time. You're like, well, at the end of this, Doc Ock dies. No, he doesn't die.
Even though Spider-Man, like, throws him onto the dock, he's just you know.
I mean, I guess no reason to be gentle, but he... Yeah.
Every bone in his body is now broke.
The next issue is an epilogue that deals with Silver Sable, so...
Yeah.
No bodies, but again, even with bodies, who cares?
Hey, you might see him in the next issue. Who knows?
A lot of the panels I've been putting up on that Tumblr have been death panels. And just through over the years, it's kind of fun to just show, like, the scenes that people have died in, and then, like, you know, for 3 years.
Do you have the, what is it, Earth 2?
Nick, you see this coming up anytime soon? Sorry. I don't know if you can see it.
That book?
Just that image. See them, Greg Land drawing that again?
Probably.
Yeah. Sorry, Phoenix End Song number 1 with Greg Land, classy-looking Phoenix, Jean Grey.
Some of the letters in Classy aren't there, but yeah. But yeah, that it's funny. Jean Grey actually almost kind of came back in that miniseries as the Phoenix. It was the Phoenix. The Phoenix died in New X-Men, and by died I mean it went into the sun and burned up. But then that end song was the Phoenix trying to pull itself together again. And in the form, you know, it looked like Jean Grey, because that's how it died. Okay. And then it flew off. So that's, like, literally what the Phoenix was doing prior to this. Huh. Nobody remembers how Jean Grey... Do you guys remember how Jean Grey died?
I read it, and it just, like, they were having... Was it even a fight? And all of a sudden she just, like, fell down and died.
It was exactly that. Magneto, who... it was actually Zorn who said that he was Magneto... who then was retconned to be Zorn, so...
Sure, why not?
There's that. So the Zorn slash Magneto character takes all of the electromagnetic power that he stored to flip the Earth upside down, that was his end goal, had to get rid of that power because he wasn't able to do it, so he put all of that magnetism into Jean Grey's body. And... as the Phoenix was, you know, hosting her, and, you know, it was so much power that her body was, like, cell by cell, like, you know, dying. And she went into space because she needed to, like, you know, basically get rid of the Phoenix, too. And Wolverine, you know, does like he always does with people he likes, is he put his claws through her to make it quicker.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, he's there for that.
Well, he tried to with Hope, but then Cyclops blasted him because he's never fought Cyclops and would know how to avoid that.
What exactly happened?
That scene is so cool. Again, I'm doing all these, putting all these panels up on this website, and it's he takes his face and just does a full optic blast in his face. Brutal.
What would actually happen though if he killed her? I mean, nothing.
Who killed her?
What would happen if Wolverine even killed Hope?
Nothing. She has.
Will the Phoenix be like, "Uh-oh, I gotta go and fly away"?
Because she just mimic his healing factor.
Yeah.
Oh.
But the other thing is that this last issue, I'm thinking to myself, "Well, you gotta kill Hope because if you kill Hope, then the Phoenix doesn't have a host." Well, no. Apparently, the Phoenix can host any random people.
You can choose that rock over there. Who knows?
Phoenix Rock.
Phoenix Rock.
Then there's a key inside of it because it was a fake rock. That was a review on issue 3.
Okay, yeah. Jack, here we go. You will be the final decider of this. We had an argument online. Is Namor an X-Man?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think... That would be the last thing I would consider him.
He's a
defender, an invader, but not an X-Man.
Well, I mean, only recently.
But not an X-Man.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's on the Extinction Team.
Okay.
I mean, that's definitive, but even before that, he started wearing the X on the belt when they went to Utopia. And the reason is that Utopia is on top of Atlantis, and the kind of formalized, you know, arrangement of the deal is that they'll symbiotically help each other. He'll be an X-Man. And they'll be able to, you know, have their stuff there.
Okay.
I mean, this is back now.
Oh, I know it's been going on, but I just never considered it. He was with the group, but I just never would have considered him.
I didn't really consider him that either, because when I was reading it, Atlantis was basically... Was it Atlantis? Whatever they called it, underneath Utopia?
Yeah.
And I just figured they just coincided.
I still see him training in the...
Because they both needed each other or something.
I mean, he's at the table and they're making decisions. He's got an X on his belt. He is an AVX on the X-Men side. He's on the Extinction Team. He's a mutant. And he was convinced to come to Utopia when they did the whole Atlantis thing because they appealed to him being an outsider and a mutant. Now, they even offered other people at the time who weren't mutants, chief among them, Cloak and Dagger. And they were X-Men characters for a while.
Yeah.
Look what you looking for. Don't have many special sections.
Well, I don't know what though, you know, and this is tough because the X-Men, unlike, especially in the last, like, 10 years, it's been tricky because in the Avengers, they have lineups and they announce their lineups.
The one thing that you do agree with, though, and he isn't here to hear you because he's helping somebody right now, but you do agree that it is a very random choice.
Oh, sure.
Characters. That was another thing that mainly he was also getting at. Yeah.
Oh, totally random.
Not only for the Phoenix, just to have being possessed as X-Men, I guess.
The team that are considered, like, the core X-Men on Utopia lately in the last, like, couple of years.
So you would consider him the core Utopia team of X-Men.
Yeah, he's on the Extinction Team, like, the big...
And also Magic?
Yeah.
Okay, so these would be the core people. So they did put the core people where they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell, really, with X-Men. I'd have to say
to me,
that.
Uncanny X-Men, you know, has always been, like, the parent X-Men group.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I think that's what it is. But it is really hard to tell with X-Men lately because there's so many mutants all in one place and all in one these books. Yeah.
But only the Extinction Team, to me, is one of the only teams that has said, we are formally a team. These are the exclusive members, like... Psylocke, sorry, we love you, but you're not on the Extinction Team.
Yeah.
So this is a team of characters who are the X-Men, and they seem like mostly like the leader ones.
Yeah.
Who declared to the world, you know, in Cyclops' opening thing at Uncanny 1, that these are the X-Men, you should be scared. And Storm said, you know, these are the members of your team, like, raise your hand if you weren't an evil mutant at one point.
Yeah.
So that's to right. me, these are all the tropisms that are typical with forming a team, and I think the Extinction Team is one of the few that's actually gone through all of those, you know, things that teams do.
Yeah.
Picking members, determining who's on, who's not, who's the leader, why, you know, etc.
In a way, right now, they're kind of the villain right now.
They kind of are.
I think, do you think more now than they used to, they were at the beginning of AVX?
Yeah, well, here's why. They're singularly, like, at least to the reader, they're singly after a goal that, to us, is something we can't relate to. You know, keeping mutants alive.
Yeah.
The other people are trying to keep everyone alive. And it's not like they're not trying... They're not also trying to take down mankind or rule them.
Yeah.
They're just trying to exist, so...
Which I don't think... I think that what the Avengers believe, though, is that they don't think the Phoenix is going to do what he thinks it's really going to do. He seems very desperate.
Yeah, he does seem desperate. But I don't think the Avengers are very qualified to determine, like, what's going to happen. Like, they...
Yeah.
The last time they had somebody in their midst, you know, who had a lot of power, it's not like they handled it well.
Yeah, they still haven't handled it.
But Beast said...
I know, it does hinge on Beast, the race traders of Wolverine and Beast.
Yeah.
Because I like the fact that, because Beast has strong enough morals that he would, you know, he was the first one that left. Like, as much as Schism was a big thing, Beast did that, you know, months before that, for the same reason.
Yeah.
The X-Men have, and I was talking about this the other day, like, online, but the X-Men lost their moral center. Nightcrawler died.
Yeah.
And... Kitty Pryde was out of commission for a while when a lot of big stuff happened.
Where is she now?
She's a headmistress of Jean Grey School.
That's right.
So it's like the heart of, and Colossus got taken over by the Juggernaut. Like, there's no heart to the X-Men anymore. And I think that's why people see them as villains and they see them as antagonists is because they're pretty cruel and they're pretty, you know, militant.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, their core members right now are Emma Frost, Namor, Magneto, you know.
Yeah, who, to me, all pale in comparison to Liliana's evilness, because right. She is creepy. Like, she's only good, you know, I guess, quote-unquote, because she just wants to hang out with her brother. She doesn't care at all.
I know what you were going to say.
Yeah, yeah. She doesn't give. But, yeah, she, you can tell that she's mostly just sadistic, or limbistic, or whatever. Somebody from Limbo would be.
Like, where are you going with that one? Do I have to take limbs?
Probably.
Limb Biscuit, what?
Limb Biscuit?
She's probably a Limb Biscuit. But, yeah, her in the recent issue I just read with her, where she was fighting, where did she take the pointless, but I still read because it's like...
Doctor Strange?
It's like fanboy porn, AV, or was it not AVX?
Oh, Versus?
Versus?
I read the first one and went, okay...
There hasn't been a story yet, but it's basically just brawls. Who would win? You know, the classic?
Yeah, that's...
Who would win?
That's why I'm staying kind of completely away from that.
Just me, I
can't... Give me two back.
I want to know who wins.
Yeah. I give you two?
Who wins? Magic versus Black Widow. What a random
one, you said.
Uh-huh.
And they have these, like, little weird...
pop-up video. Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, the little pop-up, the AVX fact.
Yes.
And you're like, grim fact. But the reasons that they're fighting each other seem like so put on. Like, well, look, they're both Russian, so they're going to fight. Or one has an angel motif, one has a devil motif.
Yeah. It seems really, really odd. I like how the Spider-Man Colossus one never ended.
Yeah.
And people, and it's just, and they ended it. They were just like, you know, Colossus wins because Spider-Man was called off by the Avengers, you know. It was a draw.
Do you, so what do you think about Earth 2?
I'm loving Earth
2. I like the first two issues. I know the first one was a lot of setup, but the thing I enjoyed that I talked about at that podcast was nobody got the fire pits.
Yeah.
In number one, they're like, well, what do you mean? I said, you know, it's like the Earth is fighting back. I'm like, no, that, and then I went and grabbed the Kirby Fourth World Omnibus and said, no, that's a fire pit. They're turning Earth into Apocalypse.
Yeah,
oh.
Earth.
I'm like, Earth. Yeah, if you didn't catch that, you kind of missed that actually Batman didn't succeed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the Earth is not in a good shape.
No, I thought that was very good, and I like... sometimes when I read online, like it mentioned that when Mr. Terrific showed up, the person he was talking to was the original Mr. Terrific.
Terry Sloan,
yeah. Yeah, I'm like, well, now that's cool, because I never would have known that. But that's a neat twist on that. But, yeah, no, I think it's good, and I think definitely, you know, it had one of those endings that, you know, wait a minute, you know, all of a sudden Hawkgirl shows up, Alan Scott's blown up. What's going on? Of course, Alan Scott's blown up, but there's a green glow inside the train car, so...
Yeah.
You know.
There's just... Even though there's some of it you obviously see, it's different enough that it's worth it. But, to me, this is my same pitch for Ultimate Spider-Man. It's different enough that it's got some of the traps that you like, but it's, you know, it's worth reading because it's not a rehash.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think some people are... I mean, like, I know I had a customer come in just losing his mind over what they did to Alan Scott, you know, never getting reading comics again. He was getting a box so he could donate all his books to Goodwill, and...
Some good come from
it. It was... Yeah, he was just so over the top. I was so happy Jeremy was here to witness it. Because no one would have believed me that this guy...
No, sounds insane.
Lost
they
his mind.
They screwed up Alan Scott.
Yeah, I'm like,
well, I would say that I would give him a little bit of credit if he could really explain why the marriage of Alan Scott to the Molly, the first Harley Quinn, was so integral to the character. However, I don't know anyone besides me that could do that.
Yeah.
Well, so Who cares?
Well, he already had a gay son, and how dare they?
I mean, that's kind of... I mean,
they tainted him enough with that, I mean...
That's actually the creator's reason of doing that. He said that he liked that character so much of his son that they were trying to figure out... They took that away from the book, so they decided just to make him gay.
Well, you know that James Robinson used to write Obsidian in Starman and in like other books, too.
Yeah.
He actually is familiar with... And I don't know if he's the one that outed him. I don't remember. Like, I remember... I know that in Infinity Inc., I don't think he was gay. I don't know if that was something that was in Infinity Inc. And then later in the mid to late 90s, Obsidian was on a really short-lived Justice League team with Metamorpho and Adam Smasher. But yeah, to me, like, I could almost make the case for some, like, a hardcore Obsidian fan.
Yeah. But all in all, that I think is kind of a cool story. I also like this little origin of Jay Garrick.
It's different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the origin of the original Jay Garrick and Barry Allen are so similar that, like, you don't really need both.
Yeah, and I like this, how he's actually getting powers of Hermes.
Yeah.
You know, which I was like, no, that's different. It explains the hat, because Hermes always wore the hat. But, you know, or the, you know, whatever he wears on his head, the... crazy dome thing.
The helmet,
yeah. Like that, huh? And Jeremy brought up a good point at the last podcast that he kind of, the helmet is almost like Johnny Quick from this crime syndicate.
Yeah.
It's a very similar outfit.
Costume, at least.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I like it. You know why I like it? Because it's different.
That's why I like it. I mean, again, if you're going to do reinterpretations of characters... I'm down. Just make it different enough that you're exploring new territory.
Yeah.
And, again, my pitch for Ultimate Spider-Man to people has been, I've talked about this at length, I actually really love the concept of legacy characters a lot. And I think that's probably because when I came up in comics in the 90s, I had a Justice League that had Wally West, Kyle Rayner, Connor Hawk. Like, I had all these characters that were... living up to a legacy, and I always thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's never had that story. I mean, a little bit in Scarlet Spider, Ben Reilly was like, I hope I do, you know, keep his whatever, but he was a clone.
Yeah.
I want somebody who's, like, constantly judged against somebody else and, you know, has to think about that. That's kind of a cool angle, and Spider-Man hasn't explored that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. That is a good point about that.
That's why we have Spider-Man. Oh, wait.
Oh, Spider-Man.
So actually, I live up to a legacy of somebody from another Spider-Man universe altogether.
Who is much farther ahead than the one he ever even met.
Yeah.
That's going to make his life that much harder.
Like, yeah, I know. He's going to be like, okay, I give up.
You can't live up to this. Now, what did you think about Green Lantern number 10?
Oh, I really liked that. I think Green Lantern made kind of a comeback here. Because really, when it came out of New 52, I wasn't... really that thrilled with it. I was just like, okay, this isn't really anything that great.
The story didn't get me that excited for
yeah,
long.
Yeah, but this Indigo Tribe thing and how it's going into the point that they were making basically that the Guardians are kind of becoming the bad guy. I don't know, I like that, you know? Because, you know, throughout this whole... Jeff Johns run, you've been thinking that. For years you've been thinking, you know, the Guardians are kind of bad guys, if you really think about it. Or as Ryan puts it, little blue space Hitlers.
Right.
You know.
They are the bad guys.
They are. And I'm excited for this, so I want to see what Jeff Johns is going to do with this now. And I really like this origin of the Indigo Tribe.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the Green Lantern series has... has been fun.
Yeah.
And
now, you know, I'm happy to see the Black Hand back.
Yeah.
Because he was. I was.
Where does Ren come from?
Where's who?
Where does his Ren come from?
Like his mouth.
It was weird. It was like the blood on his face was like.
Yeah. Maybe it was
morphing into a ring.
That could have been.
Well, when I saw him dying in that blood there, I'm like, oh, here we go. Because that's how it works for him. Like when he went from being the fourth-rate villain that he was,
yeah,
and put a gun in his mouth and killed himself. That's when he became the Black the Avatar of the Black Lantern.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I just remember that being so weird. And then all of a sudden, the Indigo Tribe just took him, and that was the last you saw of him.
Yeah.
Until this.
Nook.
Well, now we know that's the name of the planet.
Yeah, it's the name of the planet. It has a whole race of these people. Actually, no, there's just one that was trying to get back to his family. You remember that guy? The guardian or whatever of the Indigo Lantern. He was running. They almost hit him with their crazy Green Lantern SUV.
Yeah, because they needed an SUV. That didn't make any sense. I'm almost out of power, so I'll create an entire SUV
to drive around.
That thing is a ring guzzler, too.
He might have,
might as well
develop a hybrid or something, you know.
Well, to be fair, their constructs are very green.
Is that right?
I'm from the guy in Cleveland.
Tip your waitress.
Let's see. What else came out this week I read?
The Black Hand. That was cool.
The Thunderbolts. That was last week, right?
That was last week. I didn't read it. Yeah, I'm hearing very, very mixed reviews on that one.
It's okay.
Just basically saying if you jumped on at this one, you have no idea what's going on. Thinking it's
no idea.
Dark Avengers 1, basically. So.
Yeah, it's too bad. If they were going to do a big revamp of it or whatever, they should have just ignored the last stuff. It went right on from the last issue, and you're like, well, okay.
Yeah, so I upped my order because of that, and yeah, I'm feeling that.
How did you feel at the end of Avengers with the Protector?
Yeah, how he was kind of just...
I felt bad for him.
Yeah, I did too. Because he was only trying to do what he thought needed to be done.
I forget what happened at the end of that.
He gets caught basically by the Avengers, but he doesn't like what the Kree, the Supreme Intelligence, is going to use with the Phoenix Force that they took.
Okay. Yeah, I was getting confused because he had the two Kree stories in two different books.
Avengers books, yeah. That was my issue.
It was a little confusing.
But yeah, that's all they basically. And then the Avengers don't want him, but the Kree really don't want him. So he's kind of on his own now. He's always been kind of like that character, you know?
Look through my collection, I see a few holes.
Okay.
He played both sides, but at the end of the day, he was willing to go against them for Earth. And he does that, but they don't see it. So Beast was, unforgiving.
Maybe I didn't finish that issue then. I remember starting it and just going, okay, wait a minute.
And yeah, Beast was the main one that was just like, he was going to kill him.
Yeah, he was very unforgiving.
I definitely didn't finish that.
Why was he so mad, though, about it? Just because...
He got his first singed.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Oh, and you know how he is about that.
He was like,
that's literally what he said.
Yeah.
Was the problem. So you're like... I guess he's serious about that.
He's like, do you know how much conditioner costs?
Well, just, okay, now... Okay. But then, well, I'm just saying that other group of the Avengers are captured by Mar-Vell.
Yeah.
And that hasn't... Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So how's all this happening?
It's confusing. Yeah, now I understand why I'm confused.
That's the same group of Avengers.
The same group of Avengers, but some were captured, some weren't.
Right.
There's too much going on.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh, well.
Strong editorial control. Yeah, okay, gotcha. So, Nick, what do you think about Bendis taking over Uncanny and X-Men?
I know Bendis to be somebody who doesn't write about vampires a lot, so that's at least a 50% win.
Brian Wood just took over X-Men. It's like,
yeah, I know, and I actually kind of liked his story, too.
So, I guess he'll be wrapping that up. But my only concern is, why both? You know, when they relaunched the Avengers, why two books? How about just one? Do one good one, let someone else do one.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be so similar in tone, probably, right?
Yeah.
Quit hogging books, Bendis.
Well, hopefully it'll start off with they'll have a new... X-Men Supreme, and then they'll kill him off early, and you'll wonder why in the world they ever brought that character back.
What if they can bring Nightcrawler back?
He'll be back.
I was talking about this online, too. Yeah, I mean, we have a Nightcrawler.
They're just like, I'm back.
Yeah.
That'll be a last panel.
I couldn't find my way back from Limbo. Because you took what's-her-name.
You know, I've been reading a book with him. And no, it was like Dante's Inferno. It's part of the what's it called? Days of Future Past trade.
Yeah,
they have that. He gets killed by some sort of demon of some sort, by like a crystal statue that explodes in his face or something.
I still like from Earth X, where he becomes Belasco.
Yeah, I think in Earth-X, Colossus and Sinister were the same person, too.
Huh.
It was plotted by a person who didn't know anything about the Marvel comics. He just went by visuals, Alex Ross.
Okay.
Everything was visual. Like, everybody's history and what would happen to him was just purely based on, like, what their visuals were.
Cool. That was a fun book.
It's a lot to read.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Have you read all of them?
Yes, I did not enjoy the last one. And I wasn't
Paradise X?
I wasn't a big fan of Universe X, but I liked what it built on. I just remember Paradise X just trying to get through it and just going, why? So, I never read that one again, but I know I've read Earth X a couple times.
I have it. I don't think I've read it.
You have books you haven't read?
Yeah. This place has sales once in a while.
What?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, double points all June.
I was just going to say that. Like, June, double points.
I'm sorry, graphic novels.
You have to have your card.
You do have to have your card. You must present your card at check-in.
Nick, Colin now has comic perks cards.
Seemingly. I'm gathering that.
Yeah.
I can't help you with your gas, but...
I stuck it in the sheets thing, and they accepted it. They added money onto my...
Well, maybe if you were to have a couple pumps outside...
Hey, you know, that might be the business to get into. No.
I mean, there is one right across the street, but still.
You'll have Jeremy run outside. And
yeah. Jeremy, gotta go clean his windshield.
Get down the windshield. Check his oil.
Yeah, that's all you have to do is just go across the street with a can, run over there, grab it, put it in their car.
I think you can work that out.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God, just some sort of bagging Salvation Run.
Oh,
what
man.
A bizarre story. I mean, it was fun seeing the two groups, but yeah, one led by Luther, one led by the Joker. But...
Yeah, I mean, it started off kind of cool.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like, oh, well, however this is ending, yeah, we don't need that anymore. So I remember, like, Martian Manhunter was suddenly there, and that plot point was totally dropped because he was killed in the first issue of... Final Crisis, so just...
Yeah. Yeah. It's such an unceremonious way, too.
Yes.
Well, we had to set up the awesome character that was Libra.
Yes, that whatever happened to him.
I don't know, there's a new universe now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and whatever happened to, I was going to say Captain Planet. Captain Atom.
Seriously, what happened to Captain Planet?
No, Monarch? No, who was that?
Who is Monarch? That's an excellent question.
Yes, well, no, I know that, but I'm just saying...
Some days he's Hawk, some days he's Adam.
In that book, though, wasn't he... I don't remember.
Salvation
anymore.
Run?
No, Countdown.
Oh, Countdown.
Or Final Crisis.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I just remember they had the big bad, and then he had a fight with Superboy Prime, and they blew up, and...
Yeah. That was so terrible. I mean, some of the other ones were just boring. Like, Trinity? Just boring.
Yeah, I never finished that one.
But the other one, it was like they hyped it so much. Like, I actually own a Countdown shirt, and there were many of them.
Oh, yeah, with the big logo at the beginning?
Yeah, well, mine was, I got, because they made a bunch of them, I had the,
you mean the
Jim
orange
Gilson
one?
Must Die.
Okay. I just saw that on the back of one of these, the Apocalypse one.
Yeah, and the Mary Marvel, or was it hers? It was like... They were like little phrases, you know, but...
Yeah.
One was finding the Atom. What was his name?
Search for Ray Palmer.
Ray Palmer.
He had like a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are not worthwhile.
Yeah, I don't miss... Yeah, I really hope they kind of get away from the event for a while. Because that's what I was saying, I think at our last... One of the podcasts was... I was set straight, but I couldn't remember what happened in Avengers between Fear Itself and AVX. And I'm like, you know, it's just... It's event after event after event. Let's just tell some fun stories. And then somebody told me it was the Norman Osborn thing. I'm like, okay, well, that actually was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
That was great.
But, you know, and then, but now we're into something else. And, you know, lay off the events. I think that's part of what I've enjoyed about the DC thing. Other than some, you know, like, Night of the Owls things. And to be fair, I'm now reading Superboy or Titans.
But those are self-contained events.
Yeah, but for most of the books, it's just, you can read the book and keep going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or some of them are going to make sense, like Swamp Thing and Animal Man. You know, they have to come together.
Yeah.
But it's also been
sometimes it works,
over
but just doing events to do events, that's
yeah.
the problem.
That's, yeah.
Who knows? Who knows how they think this stuff out? What Osborn story are you talking about? Are you talking about Osborn?
Yeah, Norman Osborn, you know, accusing
teaming up
Avengers.
With AIM and Hydra.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't that. Then it just got lost.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, I hate this cover. Sorry, this ad for Shadowrun. Oh, can you see with the guy with the head?
The
eyes. Yeah, sorry.
That won't help.
Yeah, just some of these video game ads, it's like, ugh. Oh, we were Pan Labyrinth.
Here,
yeah, I could live without seeing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, these are not real things.
Yeah, it's like, please stop. I don't want to look at this.
There's so many things I remember because of the ads in a comic that ran for a month from, you know, for the last 25 years.
What was that? Oh, you know what I really liked about that Osborn story, though, was that they made Hammer into a new evil organization, which you were running out of ideas with those, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
Besides just rehashing the old ones, you know? Hydra and AIM and...
Yeah, they almost had like a mission and a goal.
Yeah. They're an evil... they're basically an evil shield.
Right.
You know, you don't really have an evil shield. Who has their opinion on how S.H.I.E.L.D. should be run, you know?
Yeah, it's basically that. They just want to be S.H.I.E.L.D.'s replacement.
Yeah.
They don't want to, like, take over the world.
No.
They just think that protecting the world through association with superheroes is a bad idea.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, all in all, though, I like that.
For me, the Marvel story that, like, really hit the most last year was the Wonder Man.
Yeah, and we haven't seen too much into that. I thought that might have been more of AVX.
I mean, you get Wonder Man and Scarlet Witch. I mean, I don't know if they'd ever be in the same room, I guess, but there's all these characters that are sort of like X-Factor, like variables out there. Scarlet Witch, Wonder Man, Quicksilver.
Yeah.
They could really switch things up.
Well, we need to see a little bit into that, because that was kind of, you know, that was kind of the mystery. All of a sudden, he just disappeared at the end of that book.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, the way I took it, he's like a construct of
Scarlet Witch. He thinks he might be. I don't think he is.
Because then what about Clint Barton?
Exactly. So I don't think he is. I think he's just a being of pure energy. So like when he thought he died, he didn't actually die.
Yeah. Yeah, but they switched his character around. Like, before, I could care less about Wonder Man. But now it's just like, I want to know more about Wonder Man. What's he doing?
Yeah. I mean, he's in the Masters of... I mean, he was actually in original Masters of Evil, I think, from the Avengers. I think Avengers 9 is his first appearance. But in the animated series, he's on that Masters of Evil.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a sympathetic character.
Yeah. And we're supposed to be seeing a little more into that, aren't we? The Masters of Evil? That's how they were doing with Baron Zemo.
Yeah.
So maybe they might do something with that. I don't know.
I'd be up for it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I want to see more of that. That's the kind of stuff I want to see. They're just too much of these. Like that's why I can't really go for these big events that Marvel does. They're just... I don't mind self-contained events like Night of Owls because it's actually a story. It's a regular arc. They just make it into an event, as opposed to a big thing that they're going to draw out. You know,
right?
So, but DC really hasn't done that yet. I don't know what they're going to do with Trinity War though. Even if they're going to call it Trinity War,
Yeah, I don't know if it's really going to be, like, all universe-wide. I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but it might just be a Justice League thing.
I think it is. All the titles that they think that are part of the Justice League books, I think that'll be part of it.
Now, here's a question, because I know you had some thoughts on Justice League. How did you like the latest issue of Justice League?
I've been really liking Justice League the last couple issues.
Yeah. I have been too.
All the Steve Trevor stuff's been great.
Yeah. And I know you were saying before that it's not... It's kind of... I think you... Maybe I might be thinking of somebody else, but I thought you thought it was kind of just... The first arc wasn't that great.
Yeah, I thought the first arc was padded and, you know, unnecessary, but I guess for new readers, maybe they felt like it was something that they needed to do.
And it kind of helps, I think, with this new story, because they had to have an origin to understand why this bad guy was so... This new enemy was so... needed, or why he was, you know, made. The author guy. I forget his name, though.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He seems like an interesting character, so I was like, okay, this kind of picked up a little bit. So... But that was, yeah, that's
good.
Yeah. I'm all for it right now. Before, yeah, I agree. It wasn't anything we haven't seen really before in a Justice League book, so that is one we'll just have to see.
I just think that, you know, it just needs to start its own, you know, path, and I think it has, so...
Yeah. And you're right. That's exactly it. It didn't have that before. Now it kind of does, so... See where that one takes it.
They all together now.
Yeah. But there was another annual book that came out. I'm trying to think of it. Oh, Animal Man Annual. What did you think of Animal Man Annual?
Oh, with the past story or whatever?
Yeah.
It's good. It makes it much more like Swamp Thing, I mean, which they never really had. Up until this New 52, the analogy of those two characters being so similar has never been so obvious.
Yeah.
But, yeah, giving him the history and making it more of like a mythology and not just some random thing that happened.
Yeah.
You know, is what this series is about, so I dug it.
I agree. I thought it was kind of a fun story. I didn't mind the art. A lot of people thought they didn't like the art in it, but I was like, yeah, I don't know.
It works for this, you know, like,
yeah.
That kind of story works.
So, yeah, that was one that I actually liked that a lot of people didn't. And another one I kind of liked was the Batman Annual. It was a retelling of Mr. Freeze. I kind of liked it.
There's a continuity change in Batman.
Yeah. And more and more, like, usually, sometimes I'm just like, I don't like Mr. Freeze usually, because he doesn't seem like a Batman villain. He seems really out of place. But sometimes he really does. And then I don't see the character as being... He's very... He's got a lot of tragedy, you know? With his wife, and then they show you a new tragedy with his, you know, mother, but then they really show you what happened, you know, too, after that.
That was pretty awesome.
That was something. And I don't know. It just brought the character back to life, I think, for me. I was like, this might be interesting to see him more.
Characters like Mr. Freeze, and to some extent, like Clayface, like they sort of seem like too big of a, you know, an idea to be a Batman villain and work.
Yeah.
I always kind of like the character. Like, with Christopher Nolan movies, it's kind of cool. Is like, the characters that would work in that universe are the ones that kind of work for me, period.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what his plan was. He wanted to make a more real Batman.
Right. Like, can you imagine Clayface in a Christopher Nolan Batman movie?
I couldn't even see, really, I don't know how he'd do it, but he didn't want to do the Penguin. Because he didn't even see the Penguin as being a real, but I'm pretty sure you could make him, I mean, really, in reality, he's just a guy in a suit. Like,
he's just boring.
He's just a little guy in a suit, but yeah, he's just boring. He might make a good backup character more than anything.
Yeah, like a mobster. I mean, you could have, like, the mob is run by a guy that's nicknamed the Penguin and be done with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Bane, I've always loved the potential of Bane.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be, I think he's going to be a player again.
Yeah. You got two visitors waiting for you.
Oh, hey, what's up? Just sitting on my couch.
Nice.
That's the way I saw with that. So yeah, that's what they said about those characters that they're bringing back. Even Bane is kind of a big character, you know, so I wasn't really expecting Bane, but you know what, you can make Bane work.
Yeah, he's,
I expected the Riddler, I really did, but then they already had the Joker, so I don't know.
Yeah.
So much of what they could do. Poison Ivy, that's another character that I don't know how much it would work.
I mean, without some of the mystical and, like, crazy elements of Prometheus, you could almost done a Prometheus.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few that I could see, but they were trying to make it more realistic, more noir type of a movie, you know.
Which is why they should have done the Ventriloquist.
Yeah. Hey, I can see that. A guy who just thinks he's talking to his puppet, you know.
Yeah. That would play well as in a Christopher Nolan film where there's a man with a doll in his hand going, yeah, see?
Yeah, see? Or what was that one that he had that was the sock? Socko?
Socko.
Yeah.
It's like his alternate?
Yeah. He, well, they got into a fight, remember?
Yeah.
That was a big issue. What was the book that happened in?
I don't remember.
Was it War Drums?
Oh, you're right. It was. Yeah. It was prior to, right before What He Called started.
Yeah. That was always fun.
There's a female ventriloquist that was like for the last couple years.
Yeah, and then she just kind of disappeared.
Well, I mean, yeah, New 52 and everything.
She's in New 52. I call that New 52 Limbo. That's where Wally West is.
Yeah, he's at first in the line, I hope.
I'm hoping for all of a sudden, like, a Justice League book where all of a sudden these characters find their way back and they're like, why'd you leave us there? You didn't even look for us? And
yeah, really. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. That would be interesting. Call it a separate Earth. I guess they're calling this Earth New Earth.
Again?
It doesn't really have a number. I've heard it called New Earth a couple times in books.
He's got one coming, right? He wants
a boat. And they're not calling it like Earth 1 or Earth 2 or anything.
Thursday.
I'm hoping... What I kind of thought would have been cool is if Thomas Wayne Jr., him being in the Batman universe, is all product of the New 52. And Flashpoint and all that. That some of these characters have appeared there, you know?
That's interesting, sure.
I could see that as being, like, something that they come back to.
Well, in the zero issue of Red Hood and the Outlaws, they're going to explain how Jason Todd came back from the dead in New 52 continuity.
Oh, okay.
Because the original way he did it was that Superman from Earth 1 punched the walls, and Superboy or Prime punched the walls of reality.
And you know how that happens.
Yeah, it's like, try and telling people that, you know, now.
Yeah, so how did Jason Todd come back? Well, Superboy Prime, it's Prime.
Pre-Crisis Superman from Earth 2.
Yeah.
We're hanging out with Alexander Luthor of Earth 3.
Yeah.
They punched the walls of reality, you know, in a bubble from Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, and then he came back to life.
He
dug his way out of a hole, and that was about it.
Any questions?
Any questions about that?
You want to know what Marvel books to read now? Great.
Yeah. Well,
I would say read X-Men. I can tell you about Nate Gray.
And then they ask you, exactly, Nate Gray. Oh, geez, there's so many Marvel characters that are just like...
He's an alternate reality version of Cable, you know, kind of like Strike, who is his, you know, future clone. But
yeah.
Where did I lose you?
Yeah.
You just need to know about Age of Apocalypse, Madeline Pryor.
Madeline Pryor.
You need to know about Sinister getting the genes of Cyclops and Jean Grey from the past when they went to the past. Yeah, it all makes sense.
Yeah, it all put itself together. And then Superboy punched reality. Oh, wait, no, wait.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think that's about it.
Yeah.
I think we went through a pretty good amount of books, though.
Absolutely.
So we got some, we got Comedian coming out next week.
Really?
Yeah, Comedian. I think it's next week. It's either next week or it's the next book. No, it says June, so...
That's okay.
I think it's next week.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can tell. He has it written on the board. I don't see it. Winter Soldier comes back. Oh, how'd you like it? How have you been enjoying Winter Soldier? Are you liking it?
A lot. You know, like, there's two books that I really like that I think are very similar. It's that and, well, not very similar, but almost in the same kind of world, and that's that and Scarlet Spider.
Yeah.
Like, they're both, like, off on their own. They're, like, not touched by anything else.
Yeah. And, doing their own kind of thing. I haven't read Scarlet Spider, but a lot of people say it's been good, but I really do like Winter Soldier.
Yeah, Winter Soldier is what Brubaker is supposed to write.
No, he's not, Winter Soldier actually isn't selling that well here.
Sure.
But I've actually, I can't play it up enough, I especially like this new arc where it's going. The first one was basically about, I know you know this, but I'll explain it to everybody else. Basically, the first arc is about that he, there are more, what do they call them, sleepers?
Yeah.
Set up throughout the United States. I think United States, maybe other places. And they're being woken up by, who was that exactly? It's, what's her name? Who's a Doom? I don't remember.
Oh, that like, android woman. Or not android, but, like, a cyborg.
Yeah. And she's using them for her own gain. But, they lose both of them, too. This arc has to deal with, okay, they have to go look for one of the sleepers that never woke up, and it figures out he's been awake for a long time.
Oh, okay.
For a little while.
He's been doing stuff.
Yeah. So he actually has been running around. So, and then they go in through his a little bit of his origin a little bit. So, of who he is, and has he remembered what he is yet, you know, stuff like that. What has he been up to? What was he doing while he's been awake? So they went into that a little bit. So, all in all, I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Sleeper agent doesn't really know what's going on, finally figures out what he has to do, and yeah. Now, you know, you have kind of a bad guy for Winter Soldier, so I'm like...
He needs, like, a rogues gallery.
Yeah, so I'm really for this. So, all in all, I can't say enough about it. I think it's in Brubaker's realm, which we haven't seen for a little while, in Captain America. Captain America has been very disappointed.
Yep.
I don't care about Scourge. I really don't. And I don't want to see another Scourge. I think we could, sooner or later, they can make a new enemy for Captain America or something.
Try something.
But seeing these people rehashed, I think that's my biggest problem with Marvel lately. A lot of rehashing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see all this rehashing, you know? Yeah, you know, they could say, well, you know, you have the Worthy, you have the Phoenix Force 5. Well, no. You know, those are just rehashed villains in a way. You know, it's just the Phoenix. It's just, you know, whatever the Serpent was. I guess they used the Serpent before, didn't they?
I don't think so.
Really? He might not be as rehashed, but he just didn't work out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd like to see more out of that. And I think there's so much they could do with Captain America that they're just not doing.
Yeah, the movie proved that.
Yeah.
People like him.
And I just don't want to see these characters. I really don't. I don't mind it when he teams up with, like, Falcon. That doesn't bother me.
Right.
I just want to see something better, and I think Ed Brubaker was doing it, but now it's gone. Like, Winter Soldier, though, I am liking, so I can't talk that up enough. Before Watchmen Comedian comes out next week. He does have that on the board.
Okay.
And those are some of the ones that I've been that I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking at the board as I'm talking about this. Does AVX come out next week? Yes, AVX 6 comes out next week.
Oh, nice.
So we got that. And Uncanny X-Men comes out, AVX.
Oh, Uncanny X-Men is going to have the Phoenix Force 5 then, right?
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully, I don't have to read any of that, because I don't really... I'm not reading Uncanny, because it's a lot to jump onto.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's a few things that are coming out that... Batman Beyond Unlimited number 5 comes out next week.
Nice.
So, a few things. Batwoman comes out. Batwoman's a book that I am not sure right now if I'm enjoying or not. It is written so weird.
Yeah, I agree.
Just all
all over the place it's written. You know, you have to be like, okay, this happened 6 weeks ago, but when did this this happen here? She's like, I'm not going to go do that.
Right.
Very odd writing, so. But all in all, that's kind of the stuff that catches my eye that's coming out next week, so.
Cool.
It's a little bigger of a week, so. All right, but that's about it. Unless, Nick, do you have anything else you want to say, or?
Nope, I'm getting ready to go to see Childish Gambino from everyone's favorite character, Troy, from Community.
There you go.
And then I'm just going to be doing my, what do you call it, comicbookpanels.com and posting some of the coolest comic panels of all time.
Cool, cool.
Bye, Nick.
See you, Colin.
All right, we'll call that a wrap. Take care, everybody.
See ya.